Now, Father, as we come again, we're so thankful for who you are in our lives. We thank you that you are the King and we are not. And we thank you that you're on the throne. And once again, we thank you that there are so many things we can go through. But the one thing we need to remember is that you want us to be obedient to your word. And so as we come this evening again, just continue to remind us that even as we heard, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, as Robbie was sharing, I didn't really want to get in, but I'll just, again, I thought you were going to Philippians chapter 4, because Philippians chapter 4 says, be anxious for nothing. So remember, so he says, be anxious for nothing. That means you can be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. But he also said what you have to do in order not to be anxious, and that is prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God. So in other words, if you're not obedient to the word, that's your problem. That's all of our problems. It's not so much surrendering. Surrendering, of course. You surrender what you can at the time you surrender, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, it still comes to the fact that if you want to not be anxious for something, then you need to go to God in prayer. That doesn't mean, by the way, when you walk away, you're still not going to be anxious. You know, it depends on where your heart is. God is good. All right. Before I start, and I have the clip again I'm going to play because we have some new guys here that haven't seen it. We also have Christine here. Hola, Christine. ¿Cómo se llama? ¿Cómo está usted? Where's my Spanish translator here from Colombia? Where is she? Amen. God is good. Okay, so I just want to tell you, you know, I had the opportunity to do the funeral on Monday and Tuesday for Peter Gandolfo. And, you know, I told a story. I haven't told a story in a long time at a funeral. But it's a good story, so I figured I'll tell it now because who knows what's going to happen, you know. So there was this woman, and she was diagnosed with fourth stage cancer, and the doctor told her she would have probably a month to live. That's how bad her cancer was. So she called a pastor, and she said, Pastor, come on down. I need to talk to you. So he came down, and she said, these are the scriptures I want read at my funeral. This is the dress I want to be buried in. And these are the songs I once sung at my funeral. And so he wrote them all down. And then as he was about to leave, she said, wait a minute, there's one more thing. She said, I want you to put a fork in my hand when I'm in the casket. And so he stepped back and he said, well, what is that all about? She said, well, when I was a kid and I used to sit at the table, my siblings would always remind me to save the fork after the first course leaves because the best is yet to come. And that's the dessert. Yeah. And so I want to be buried with a fork in my hand because I know that the best is yet to come. Okay, so at any rate, let's go on here. That's the story. I have this clip. We played it last week. I just want to play it again because we're going to deal with the two witnesses. So let's just watch it one more time. It's only like 3 minutes, so.
He said, take heed now, for the Lord...
No, I know. He's speaking in English.
You are false prophets, claiming to know the secrets of God's kingdom.
For God will bring every deed into judgment, Ben Judah, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. And I will give every man according to his ways and according to the things he has done.
I have kept the commandments since my youth.
By the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. For by grace you are saved through faith. This is not for yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast.
Got it.
I don't understand.
We are ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us.
This is GNN. We are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
Be reconciled to God.
God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He who believes in the Son is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
In the name of the Son of God.
He is the Christ, Jesus.
Okay, now you might say, Ed, that's a little harsh. Is that really what it's like? Well, let's read the scriptures and find out what's all about with the two witnesses here. Okay. So we're going to start here in 5 and 6. We got through 3 and 4 already, which talks about the two witnesses and they're God's witnesses. If you recall last week, that's where we stopped. And so 5 and 6 as we read. And if anyone would harm them, fire pours from their mouth and consumes their foes. If anyone would harm them, this is how he is doomed to be killed. They have the power to shut the sky that no rain may fall during the days of their prophesying, and they have power over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they desire. Okay, so again, talking about the two witnesses, and so they have the power, first of all, of fire. And again, as we get into the discussion of this, we'll see that they also have the power of miracles. And the point is that this power is given to them by God. Does anybody know how long they're going to prophesy for? Yeah, 42 months or 3.5 years, right? 3.5 years they're going to be prophesying. In other words, they're going to be in the streets of Jerusalem prophesying, just as you hear them prophesying here, for 3.5 years. And Antichrist is not going to like this for 3.5 years. And he's going to try to do whatever he can to silence them. But they will continue to prophesy for 3.5 years. God calls them ministers. And you know, there's when people view this now and say, who are these two witnesses? Who are they? Some believe it's an allegory that symbolizes the law and the prophets. I mean, after all, you know, again, we have two men here, and we'll get into who others believe they are. Could be the law and the gospel. It could be, again, Israel and the church. It could be the 144,000 that are converted. There's so many thoughts here as to who they can be. I just want to just put one thing to rest, though, again, as, you know, I said this a few times already now in Revelation. Since the ending of chapter 4, we don't hear about the church anymore. The church is not mentioned in Revelation. It all centers around Israel. There is no mention. There are mention of Gentiles that will get saved because the 144,000 Jews will go out and they will evangelize. We believe there are no Christians around anymore. They've been raptured out. So you have 144,000 Jews who are saved, who evangelize, who save other Jews, and who save other Gentiles. Millions will come into the kingdom at this time as they're evangelizing, but the church is no longer mentioned. The church is gone. We don't hear about the church anymore. So this is all about Israel. That's why, again, be careful today in your Christian circles when you hear people saying that the church has replaced Israel. You need to turn your ears off, walk away, or if you want to engage them, but make sure you know what you're talking about. Make sure you know the scriptures. Because as far as we're concerned, Israel is the time clock, and the time clock started running in 1948 when Israel became a nation, And now we are just waiting for the climax of all to go on. And so every time you listen to the news, your heart should leap for joy in knowing that it's only going to get worse before it gets better. It's not going to get better. It's going to keep getting worse until the time when Jesus returns. As a matter of fact, as we have seen, it's really going to get bad in the last 7 years. And so who are these men again? I really believe now there are two distinct fundamental and orthodox opinions as to who they are. The only two people that were ever raptured off the earth without ever dying, one was, does anyone know who the first one was back in Genesis? Was, there's a book, he wrote a book, Enoch. Enoch was one, and of course the other was Elijah the prophet. You had Enoch and Elijah. They're the only two that ever got raptured from the earth without ever dying. They went up to earth, they went up to heaven, God took them up. However, in looking at the scripture that we just read, where fire comes out of the mouth of one, and then we see here that they have the power over waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague. And so often in the scriptures we read about the law and the prophets, the law and the prophets, which I believe, talks about Moses and Elijah. So I really believe that the two witnesses here are Moses and Elijah. But again, that's what I believe. You don't have to believe that. You just have to know there are two witnesses. And by the way, when I say they're Moses and Elijah, I don't believe they are resurrected Moses and Elijah. I believe there are two men who have within them the spirit of Moses and Elijah. They're not actually Moses and Elijah resurrected or come back from heaven. They are two men who have the spirit of Moses and Elijah. And so that's what these two witnesses are. They, again, as you can see, they have great power and they are going to prophesy. And of course, we can go through, argument and so on, but the issue is at the end of the day, there are two witnesses. They will be here. They will prophesy. Now, I want you to get the picture of this. Antichrist now controls the area. Just as you see here, he will control the airwaves. And yet these men are there prophesying, and there's nothing that the Antichrist or his power, natural power, can do to them. Nothing. They are saved, they are controlled, they are protected by God. And so for 3.5 years they will be prophesying. Okay, let's continue on as we go on here. And when they had finished their testimony, the beast that rises from the bottomless pit will make war on them and conquer them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city that symbolically is called Sodom and Egypt, where their Lord was crucified for 3.5 days. Some from the peoples and tribes and languages and nations will gaze at their dead bodies and refuse to let them be placed in a tomb. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and make merry and exchange presents, because these two prophets had been a torment to those who dwell on earth. Very interesting. Remember again, we're getting into some, if you will, some very focused attention here on these issues of, again, the witnesses, Antichrist, the woman we'll tackle in Revelation 12 and so on. But so this is the first mention now in Revelation of the beast, the Antichrist, as he comes up from the bottomless pit. Satan comes now to inhabit the Antichrist. The idea is that, again, this Antichrist is a murdering tyrant, and he just is here to kill and to maim and destroy. What happens, so remember, they've had this effective message now for 3.5 years, and people are getting saved during this time, but yet there are billions who still don't want to hear the message. As a matter of fact, they rebel against the message. And let me just say this to you in your heart. When someone started to share the Word of God to you, the truth about the Word of God, what did you do? I mean, if you go back, I could tell you what I did. I mean, I took out my gun, not literally, and as the preacher was explaining to me about all of this, I started to ask him 100 questions. What about the people born blind? What about this and what about that? And what, you throw everything you can at this, at whoever is sharing it you, because you, nothing's been, no truth has been revealed to your heart. And so you have all of these questions that are unanswered. You had them, but in reality, remember, we are rebels to the living God. We are enemies to the living God before we're saved. Now, you young guys back there, you might not like to hear that, because I certainly didn't like to hear that when I first started to encounter Jesus. And even though I went to church, to know I was an enemy with God, that didn't sound too well in my heart. But in reality, that's exactly what I was. I was under the wrath of God, and I was an enemy of God. I was trying to work my way to heaven, if you will, or whatever, run away from God, or wherever God was. But at the end of the day, until he revealed the truth to you, you were an enemy. Once you got saved, the enemy status went away, and now you became a what? A son or a daughter of the living God. Just happened just like that, just by receiving Jesus. Your condition before the living God changes. And so we see here that the whole world now is witnessing what will happen when Antichrist kills the two prophets. The whole world is going to witness this. Now, can you imagine people living in the 18th century, the 19th century, if you will, trying to have an understanding, especially the men in the Reformation, an understanding of how could this be? How could the whole world witness what would go on in Jerusalem? How does that happen? There was no radio. There was no TV. There was no internet. None of this existed. Now we can understand. Now the possibility is that when these two men are literally assassinated, murdered by the Antichrist, it will be televised all across this world. Everyone will see what's going to go on. We have that ability right now. And so this is what we're told. This is what will happen. They will see these two killed right there. But of course, the story doesn't end there. You know, the story goes on. And but I guess the question would be is, you know, let me ask this question because I have it in your notes. Who is the Antichrist? And I just want to read some scriptures to you as to who he is. First of all, he is the abomination of desolation. Remember, we're told in Daniel that when you see the abomination of desolation, be prepared. The Antichrist will go into the temple, which has not been built yet, will be built. When he goes in to the temple, that will be the abomination. He will defile the temple. And when he does that, he actually is the abomination of desolation, because he's the one that defiles it. And in Matthew 24 and verse 15, it says this: "When you therefore see the abomination of desolation, the Antichrist, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand." In other words, when you see it, be aware that now we're going into what is known as the Great Tribulation period. Again, let me remind you that the first 3.5 years is never called the tribulation in Scripture. It's called the tribulation by other people, by other commentators, but it's not called the tribulation in Scripture. The first 3.5 years are called, does anybody know what it's called? Jesus called it the beginning of sorrows. And then the last 3.5 years, it's called the Great Tribulation. Okay, so he's called, again, the abomination of desolation. He's called a man of sin, as Paul prophesied, and that's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there be a great falling away first." By the way, that falling away concerns the church. And we can see the churches now that are falling away. And by the way, I want to be careful here. I don't like to talk about other denominations, but I'll tell you right now that almost every denomination that we know of is falling away. And by the way, the falling away started a while ago. You know what happens? We let a little leaven in, and then the leaven does what? It leavens the whole lump. Leavens the whole lump. You know where it started first here in America? You're not going to like this. I'm glad my wife is not here. You're not going to like this. It started when we let someone into the pulpit. Does anybody know who I'm talking about here? When we let women into the pulpit. When we let women into the pulpit, that's when it started. Now, because now we've done that, that's okay. So now we'll let homosexuals into the pulpit. After all, we've got to love everyone. And that's the next phase. And it keeps going and going and going. And so a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And by the way, if you're sitting here and you didn't like that remark about women in the pulpit, I need to tell you, we are patriarchal here at Gospel Community Church. We believe that in 1 Timothy, when it talks about a pastor or an elder, it doesn't say the wife of one husband. It says the husband of what? Of one wife. That's the definition given to the elders or pastors of churches. Now, by the way, we don't say that to demean women at all. Because remember, it says in the end times, Joel predicted, he says, your young men and your old men, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams, and your women will do what? Your women or daughters will do something. Does anybody know what they're going to be doing? Prophesying. They'll be prophesying. So God gives us opportunities. We all have opportunities. But again, we have roles. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're all God. The essence is all the same, but they have different roles. The same with the church. We have men, we have women. We're all human beings, but we have different roles. Right? So you might not like that, but you need to see what the scriptures say. By the way, don't believe Pastor Ed. Read the Word of God. He's also called the little horn, prophesied by Daniel. And he, the little horn, the Antichrist, shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. That's 3.5 years. By the way, I didn't read that other scripture, the great falling away. Let me say, there will be a great falling away that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, the Antichrist. Okay, he's also called the embodiment of Satan himself. It says, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they beheld the beast that was and is not, and yet is. And then he's also the world ruler who will come against God's people and slaughter them. We're told that the righteous will not prevail against the Antichrist. Here in Daniel 7 it says, and of the 10 horns that were in his head and of the others which came up and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke with very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. And so he comes to conquer, and he's going to conquer the saints in the great tribulation. He will overcome them. That's why it says when you see this happening, he turns to the Jews and he says, when you see this happening, what are they supposed to do? Does anybody know? Run and go. Where do we think they're going? Probably to Petra. They're going to some place where God will protect them. Okay, let's continue on with the reading here. Oh, okay, so there they are. I had them listed, okay. But after the 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them, and they stood up on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they went up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies watched them. And this is what I mean about the ending. It really is. I mean, can you imagine now prophesying for 3.5 years? Those that hate God hate this. They want to see them dead. 3.5 years. That's a long time to be prophesying in Jerusalem and watching many people saved. Then finally, Antichrist, God allows him now to kill them. And they stay there for 3 days. Everyone watching. Matter of fact, it says they're giving presents out, right? They're enjoying the fact that these two guys that have bothered them for 3.5 years are now dead. So we can have a big party now, they're dead. And after 3 days, they're resurrected from the dead and they stand so that everyone can see God's mighty power. And it says that after that time happens, they're then literally resurrected up to heaven. And it says, and their enemies watch them. And those, again, this is probably all going to be, I don't know, televised. They'll all see them leave and go up to heaven. And it says, and of course we know that great fear is going to come on them. And so, do I have one more verse? Let's just see if I have this one more verse. Yep. And at that hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. So the two witnesses get this great vindication, if you will, that everything they've done for 3.5 years wasn't wasted. you know, in their life. They see now what has happened. By the way, does this sort of, as you listen to this, does this remind you of something that might have happened 2,000 years ago? I mean, after all, there was a great earthquake when Jesus died. And after 3 days, he was resurrected. Well, he was resurrected. Of course, he didn't go up to heaven for 40 more days, but 50 more days, actually, the Pentecost. Right, the veil was rent in half from the top down. Amen. Amen. God is good. Okay, that's where we're going to end tonight, in Revelation chapter 11. And we'll pick up, I don't know, we're going to pick up next week, I guess, pick it up and start into chapter 12. Now, again, we're getting into very specific areas. The woman, and we'll get into in a little while and so on, more about the Antichrist, more about what's going on. Again, this is, remember, we're not going through this to put fear in your heart. This should rather give you, build faith in you to see that God is on the throne. God is watching this all work out. I know one of the questions that a lot of people, especially people who really haven't studied too far in this, young Christians, always say, well, why does this have to happen? Why doesn't God just end it all? Just stop what he's doing and just stop all this stuff, put Satan in the bottomless pit and just end the whole thing. Why doesn't he do that? I mean, after all, isn't he omniscient, all-knowing? Isn't he omnipotent or omnipotent? And yes, he is. He's all-powerful. And so, so why does he let this continue? Grace for what? Yeah, but you're in heaven. Ah, he wants more to come into the kingdom of God. More to come into the kingdom. And by the way, I think there's more to this too. I think from what I would call a justice issue. I think that when Satan stole, if you will, the title deed to earth, and although Jesus has reclaimed it, there still is a period that has to go, that has to continue on until final justice can be rendered. And so, but the issue, of course, is more have to come into the kingdom of God. We are given this period of time to see that more people enter the kingdom of God and don't get lost and go to the other destination. And so this is why we're here. We'll hear more of that this Sunday. Hallelujah. Okay, anything else? Anybody have any questions, any thoughts, anything on anybody's mind?
The woman's role is to prophesy, you say, right?
One of their roles.
One of their roles. Okay. But we don't prophesy. Because I don't think we know.
Well, I think, you know what it is? I think women have to come. First of all, I believe it's a supernatural empowerment, right? The gift of prophecy. And I think in these end times that there will be a supernatural endowment, and they will, you know, very often I think the issue of prophecy or speaking in tongues and then the interpretation, which is the same, right? I think what happens is the fear of man comes upon people. I think they're afraid to stand up in a congregation, and if God puts something on their heart to say it, for fear of man. They're afraid, well, if I get it wrong, what happens? Remember, again, if a prophet gets his prophecy wrong, then what do? We stone him. But if in these end times you've been given the gift of prophecy and you get it wrong, it's okay. You don't get stoned. You're not a prophet. You have the gift of prophecy. That means that maybe not all your prophecy is right. Maybe not all of it is going to come true now. Maybe you got it wrong. Maybe when you heard God, you threw a word in extra or whatever. It's okay. That's all right. It's okay to mess up now in New Testament times because it's a gift that's given to you, and some people haven't even stepped out in the gift. And so until you step out and get experience in it, it's like, and don't let the fear of men overcome you. If you believe God has put a word on your heart and you're in service, you really believe that God has put this on your heart. And by the way, remember, the word he's given you should line up with the word of God. It shouldn't be just something like, you know, the cat outside is going to die right now. That's certainly you wouldn't stand up in church and say that. But you might speak something from the Word of God.
What I noticed today is like after their ministry was finished.
Right.
They were, you know, Satan got power to kill them.
Yeah.
Until then, nobody could touch them.
Couldn't touch them. And then, of course, though, even though it was finished, they were still vindicated, right?
The resurrection was going to be
Right.
That everybody saw it.
Amen. Any other questions? Anybody? No? Okay, God is good. So be anxious for nothing. Hallelujah. Father, again, as we end this night, we thank you so much for who you are in our lives. We thank you that, again, we can dig into the scriptures and we can certainly continue to discuss them. But, Father, we're interested in a revelation from the living God. As we read them, and you say that if we just read Revelation, we'll be blessed. But, you know, I have desire to know more. I want a revelation of what is the truth. What can I hang my hat on? And this continues to unfold, and so we want to keep our mind and our heart open as you continue to reveal more and more of it to us. We thank you now. Bless your people as we leave this night. In Jesus' name, amen.